There was a great rabbi called the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov said that if everybody would have kavanah, thought, when it comes to this blessing, in the morning that we say every single morning, Mashiach will come straight away. What's the blessing? The blessing is Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu. Where is this blessing? You're all asking, where do you find this blessing? Every day a Jew says the words Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We cover our eyes, we concentrate, we're making sure that we understand Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Before that blessing, there's a lead up. What's the lead up say? Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu. You, God, have loved us and will love us forever. Wow. That's a big statement. Says the Baal Shem Tov. If everybody were to have kavanah during that blessing, that really mean that God loves me, then Mashiach would be here. Problem is, God sends us tests. He sends us tests in life. So we ask ourselves, do you really love me? What's happening? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Do you really love me? And the less we ask that question and the more we realize that God loves us, the more obvious that Mashiach is coming. I want to share with you a potent, powerful formula for prayer to be answered. What's the best way of prayer to be answered? You know, many times people tell you, you have to do this, you have to do this. You hear this story, many emunah stories. This guy did this, and because he did this, suddenly he had a child. This person did this, and the tax authorities ran away. This person did this, and Baruch Hashem, Shalom Al Yisrael, he made peace with it. He did a mitzvah and everything. And then you think to yourself, what about me? What happened to me? Why are these stories not happening to me? How come I'm praying for something for years and years and years and years and nothing happened? Today we delve in a little bit to understand that. The Baba Sali was learning with his son-in-law once, Rabbi Yudayev. He's sitting there and he's learning, and outside there's a commotion because there's a lot of people that wanted to come in to the Baba Sali to get a bracha. But he said, now's my time, I'm learning with my son-in-law. My son-in-law is like my son. And I need to learn with him, and this is the time that I'm going to be learning with him. So he started to learn, 20 minutes, half an hour, and they're in the limud. And then he finished, and he said, okay, Kabbalat Kahal, now I can invite people in. The first person to come in was a lady. She comes in, she starts crying her eyes out, pouring herself into the Baba Sali's hands. She said, listen, I need your help. 20 years I'm married, I'm praying, I'm doing every segula under the sun, and banim, nothing, there's no children, I don't have children, please give us a bracha, you're a holy man, you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Baba Sali turns to the side, and he feels her pain, and he says, Abba, my father, I've just been learning with my son-in-law, and he's like my son, I treat him like my son, and I give him my time. Abba, I am your son. Please, can you not allow, open the heavens to this lady's tefillot and provide her a son as well? And he gave her a bracha. Within a year, there was a Brit Milah. There was a Brit Milah. It's an incredible story. And everybody's asking, why? What happened? And this is the secret. When you want to speak to somebody, and you want to get in touch with them, and they are famous, how many layers do you have to get to? If you want to speak to President Trump, who's hearing me right now, if you want to speak to him, you've got to go through the secretary of the secretary of the secretary of the secretary. You'll get no'd a few times. And even if the answer is yes, I heard of a recent interview with a guy who was saying, like, I've been after the president forever. It was actually a journalist. And suddenly I received a phone call at 10 o'clock in the evening by the U.S. The president's on the line. He's been after him for 6 months, and the president decided to talk to him. How do we get through to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's got malachim, he's got angels upon myriad sevaot, he's got legions. And you want to get through to Hashem? And the answer that we're learning today, and the secret to powerful prayer, is we can get through to him if we change our perspective. We come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say every morning, Hashem, you are the king of the world. Adonai, called the master of everything. Haya, you were. Hoveh, you are. Yehiyeh, you will be. But more importantly, once we've internalized who God is, we need to understand He's our Abba. He's our Father. I don't know about you, but a father who has a son will do anything to be with his son. And even if the son is far, and even if he hasn't heard from the son, the son's gone traveling across the Himalayas and all this and the other, and one day he picks up the phone, Daddy, how are you? And even if the dad knows that he's picking up the phone because he needs some dollars, he'll still pick up the phone and he'll be excited and it'll be his honor to give. But what? He just wants to hear his son say, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Abba, I'm here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to acknowledge, and when we acknowledge He's our dad, we open into a whole new world, because the dad is always looking after the son. And that's what happened. The Baba Sahib says, Abba, Abba. That's what happens. You know, there are 12 months in the Hebrew year, 13 if you include Adar Bet. Let's go through them. Nisan is not Hebrew. Iyar is not Hebrew. Right? You go through Sivan, Tammuz. The only one that's a Hebrew word is the word Av. And what does Av mean? Father. And it's in the month which has the destruction of the temple. The first temple, the second temple, the spies were sent beforehand. You have Beitar getting destroyed. You have the plowing over Jerusalem. Five terrible things on Tisha B'Av. And it's a sad name. And it is called Father Makara. What's happened? Because that is the avodah of that month. And that is what we have to understand. Our work, our avodah, our prayer needs to encompass the fact, and our belief needs to be a belief, He is our Father. Banim atem la Hashem. It says in the Torah, you are sons to God Almighty. How many of us really feel that we are sons? How many do we feel? Sons and daughters, we are Bnei Elohim, the sons of God Almighty. Betzelem Elohim bara otam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us that we are made in the image of God. We are His children. We are His handiwork. Ma'aseh yadai lihit pa'er. And Am Yisrael is leading that mission. And we can't forget. We can never ever forget that. And once we internalize that, oh, our shaharit becomes different. Our mencha becomes different. Our arvit becomes different. We come to the kotel, we're praying. Oh, whatever we're thinking, I need. What do you need? Your dad is here. He can provide everything. You come to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, what do we say? Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. Why do we say both, Avinu Malkeinu? But we start with Avinu, dad. Dad, poof, the emotions go down. Boom, we open the door. Malkeinu, our king. Why? Because a dad in this world can want the best for his son, but maybe he can't provide. Maybe he lacks financial resources. Maybe he lacks the knowledge, the wisdom. So he can't provide everything. But a melech, a king, can provide everything. But sometimes a melech is not, a king isn't so nice. So we say, we want you to be our father just like a father loves a son. And maybe the father can't provide. So you are Malkeinu. You are our king, which can provide. You're both our Av and our Melech. You are both, Hashem. We have to acknowledge both. When we acknowledge both, we open the doors. We start to open the doors. Many years ago, I took a Tal trip to Israel with the lads. And we went to Ein Gedi, famous story, Rabbi Tawil, Ein Gedi with the lads. A few of the boys, they decide, oh, Rabbi, we're going up to the top. Why are you going up to the top? Because, Rabbi, it's all a farce. What's the farce? I said, listen, there's water flowing out over here. You're in the middle of the Israeli desert. You're near the Dead Sea. I don't see any. Rabbi, do you see any water here? Water here? Water? No water. Rabbi, we're going to prove. What are you going to prove? We're going to prove where the water comes from. The water isn't coming. Stop. You know what they did? They built a pipe from some water place and they put it all the way there. They put it at the top and they created, this is man-made. Man-made, Ein Gedi is man-made. I said, okay. Chavod, just make sure you're back on time. Can you go? You go do your crazy stuff. They went up to the top of the mountain. and we're waiting for them at the end of the day. We went to the pool, it was very nice, and we went across and that. Back in the day, 25 years ago, it wasn't so full at the time we went, winter time. Not exactly winter, but waiting. They're about to close the park. Eventually they come down. Rabbi, here you are. We saw it. We saw the pipe. It's all fake, okay? We saw a pipe. We went to the top and we saw a pipe. So I asked one of the park rangers, and of course they explained there is a pipe, but that's not coming from some of this. There happens to be a pipe over there. And of course that pipe isn't giving water to everything, and it has been here for thousands of years. So I said, how does the water get here? How does it get here? So they told me it's very simple. It rains, the hills of Jerusalem and around, and the rain comes through, and there's different layers, lime rock, and all these different layers to get through. And they said to me, listen, this water that you're seeing flushing out, do you know when it rained? I said, it's winter time, maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. I said, no. This water can take between 5 to 10 years before it comes out. It rained in Jerusalem 5 years ago. It went through this rock and this layer and this layer and that layer. And then eventually it trickled through and then it comes through into this spring that you're seeing now. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm sitting in something that happened a few years ago. They said, yes, there could also be flash floods and then it will be immediate. But generally, most of the source is coming in the summer. Where's it coming from? It's constant. It hasn't rained in the summer for a few months. So he said, listen. I said, what can you take from this? Wow. Sometimes in life you can be praying for something, but you have to be long term. You have to be in there for the process. You have to understand there's a process. It will take time. There's a layer and a layer and a layer and a layer that you need to go through. And eventually you will hit the target. It will trickle through and it will become a spring. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking this prayer that you did on Sunday, this you did on Monday, this you did, and he's adding it to your mother's prayer, your grandma's prayer, this one's prayer, and it's all together. Psh, here you go. Here's a spring. Now you have the bracha. How do you say spring in Hebrew? Brecha. Bracha is a bracha. That is the bracha. Bracha is a spring. It's an amalgamation of everything coming together, and there you have it. That is the Abba. We come to Abba, Abba. We're constantly asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many things. So we have to value, in life, we have to value time. And time in Hebrew, how do you say time? Zman. What does zman mean? Zman is zamin. Zamin means prepared. Every moment is important. In Judaism, every single moment is important. It's lo levatel zman. We don't do bitul zman. We don't nullify time. At the end of a person's life, a person looks back and they don't say, I should have done this. They said, if only I have another few moments in this world. I could say this to this one, say that to that one, do this, do that. Zman, zman. We don't kill time in Judaism. We improvise, we energize the time, we make the time useful. Because we're only given a certain amount of time. It's the most precious gift in this world. To realize the value of 1 year, we don't nullify time. At the end of a person's life, person looks back and they don't say, I should have done this. They said, if only I have another few moments in this world, I could say this to this one, say that to that one, do this, do that. Zman, zman. We don't kill time in Judaism. We improvise, we energize the time, we make the time useful. Because we're only given a certain amount of time. It's the most precious gift in this world. To realize the value of 1 year, speak to a student that's been put down a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, speak to a woman, a mother that's just given birth, 1 month premature. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor in a newspaper or reviews what happened a week ago and now it's happening now. It's crazy the difference that's happening. To realize the value of 1 hour, speak to a husband and wife that are in love and that are sharing, and their 1 hour is like eternity. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person that just missed the train. 1 minute. It said 3:18, I was there 3:19. Yeah, but the train's gone. Now you have to wait for the next one. It's 2 more hours if you're lucky. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person that, God forbid, was in an accident. And to realize the value of a millisecond, ask a runner that just came second. Rabotai, every moment in Judaism is important. Every moment, and every time we're praying, we can't say, oh, I didn't get answered. Everything, Hashem is bringing it up. He's getting the balloon ready. And at the right time, it's going to shower the brachot. The world is round. It doesn't keep all rosy and it doesn't keep all difficult. There's top times, there's lower times. Av is a month. It's a father. Even though it's a difficult month, it's the Father. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's our Father and He's given us the most precious thing in the world, which is time. You know, every morning we wake up. Some of us like to take coffee, right? Take coffee. So some say that the actual coffee that we have, it's very nice over here. You see the coffee that you're going to have? How do you have it? You like it. So you get the coffee beans, stick it in. Get the hot water, stick in some of the milk, tea, coffee, whatever it is. We say like this: the day is about to begin. It could be a bright day, could be a dark day, could be a bitter day, could be a sweet day, could be a hot day, could be a cold day. Whatever it is, we're gonna make the bracha shakol nihiya bidvaro. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take something bitter, which is these coffee beans, but we mix it with sugar. We take something dark, which is this water now situation, which is dark, we add milk to it. We take something hot, but we add something cold, the beans, etc. Whatever it is, whatever God's going to throw at me today, shakol nihya bidvaro. Everything comes from God's word. Hakol nihya bidvaro. Comes from His words. When we realize that everything comes from God's words, and we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, we have that emunah that boosts us for the entire day ahead. If it's hot, if it's cold, if it's sour, whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. You know, the book of Devarim. Book of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass away. He has 36 days. It's the last days of his life. People don't realize. The whole book, 36, 37 days in total. And he is giving a message. And his message is one of a person that's passing away, but he really wants to give out. He wants to tell Am Yisrael about how great they are. And it's over there that he says, Banim Atem LaHaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over there he says, you are children to Hashem. Just before they come into the land of Israel. And he's boosting them and he's giving them. And how is he doing it? He's doing it with Devarim, with words. 4 books we have, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, are all God speaking to Moshe. Moshe's writing them down. Of course, Moshe wasn't alive in Bereshit, but he's written it down. The 5th book is mainly Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Am Yisrael. You know, you have the 10 commandments. They appear in Parshat Yitro, which is in the book of Shemot, and then again in Parshat Vayitchanan, which is in the book of Devarim. And there's differences. Why are there differences? Because in Yitro, God is speaking directly to the people. But in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is adding his personal understanding, which of course he'd learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into infusing those 10 commandments. You have a Zachor and you have a Shamor. You have to understand what's going on over there. And this is the idea. We are in the summer months. Everybody's time for holiday. People have been working very, very hard. It's not an easy time. We might tend to forget our Father. Might tend to forget Him. On this month, we don't forget. Hakol Nihya B'dva, everything comes from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Av, you are the Father. And Devarim, we begin the book of Devarim, because it's all about the speech. How do we speak to each other? How are we speaking to our Father? How we understand communicating with everybody else? B'zad Hashem, if we take these beautiful ideas and we infuse our emunah, we understand everything is according to how we relate and internalize his dad. Next time you're wherever you are, you need anything, say dad, say father. Abba, Avinu, our father. Not just my father, he's your father and your father and your father. Everybody here is father. He is related to all of us. I'm putting myself in the Klal Yisrael. I'm not just leaving myself apart. He's only you. I am part of that. No matter how religious, how many, start to become more connected to him as a father. And Be'ezat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillot. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.